Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. 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 Geek.
In vintage and gold realm, where the fans unite, Steve Megatron leads us, igniting the night. Talking movies and games, pop culture galore. Altered Geek vibes always leaving us wanting more. Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and yeah, two for two this week. So I know the last episode kind of sucked. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to say anything about it. I recorded that really early and really no excuse for it. I've also been tweaking some stuff on my computer. I've been messing with the Geekcast Radio Network store, which you can go to and support us either through donations on there. There's also options to donate through the website if you so choose. There's also, you can buy merch, which supports us, and you get to rock out some awesome Geekcast Radio gear. So yeah, I'm presently working on some new stuff for a lot of the other shows. What are some shows that you guys want first on the store? Like, what are some merch that you guys would prefer? Like, right now I have a lot of Geekcast Radio Network stuff, a few Altered Geek items, and then like the Cyber Dragon Ball and All Things Transformers, just a little bit in that area. But I'm kind of looking at where to go next. Like, I could do Tooncast, I could do the Pull Bag. I am going to be doing some shirts with some of our both colorful and non-colorful slogans, or maybe not just slogans for the shows, but also some of our goofy phrases that have come up over the years. Like, for instance, the Beast Unleashed podcast, like a coulda did. What's a coulda did? Or I love you. Shut up. You know, and so on. Yes, I will never say that phrase again. It's still funny to go back and listen to it, or like tap that and, you know, tip your waitress. So anyways, just let me know what you guys want in the store. Like, honestly, I don't want to waste my effort or my time kind of putting a lot of things in there that nobody really cares about. So what are some things that you want? Like, whether it's a hat, a shirt, a sticker, a decal, just whatever it may be, just let me know. Because honestly, I'm kind of fishing for information in that realm. I'm perfectly A-okay with kind of going that route. So, yeah, let me know what you guys want. Because, like, I think it'd be fun to put some of that in the store. And yeah, that being said, I plan on 2025 expanding this show a little bit. And what I mean by that is not just focusing on geek news, not just kind of doing the status quo of what I've always done in this show. I want to kind of take it a couple steps further. I want to grow this. I want to kind of break out of the mold. I want to do some more kind of deep dive discussions. I want to do some more basically video content of sorts, or yeah, I mean, I want to do some of that. And then I, of course, want to cover more podcasting. So I'm debating whether I should revive the Internet Pathfinder or if I should just keep everything here. Because the Internet Pathfinder is kind of my internet, my memes, that kind of stuff. But then it kind of leaves this hole in Altered Geek. And I love the show Altered Geek. I love the name. I love the premise that it's just kind of geeking out or altering your geekdom. Or getting altered and getting geeky. Yes, I'm using all of the catchphrases tonight. I'm also kind of looking, should I involve co-hosts? Or should I occasionally sprinkle one in like once a month or so? Or should I continue going on this route of doing it solo? again, like, these are all things I'm kind of pondering and kind of going back and forth with the program. And so I'm working on quite a bit of stuff just between life and the podcast network, and actually putting more effort into it than I have in the last 5 years, because I've had a whirlwind of jobs that have kind of prevented me from doing any of this. And so now I'm at this place where everything's going well and I really enjoy my job. My kids are kind of getting to the point where they're autonomous and they don't want to hang out. Or I'm recording one night a week, which has also severely cut down on the amount of podcasting I used to do. So for instance, I recorded a Geekcast Radio with Mike earlier this week. I recorded an Altered Geek that was kind of subpar. I was trying to squeeze in a lot of stuff in a 20-minute span or under 20 minutes that I had available and hurry up and edit it and get it out, which in hindsight, I probably could have just not done one. Being that half the news was old and half of it was just not really a discussion. It was more just I was tired and I was like, I should really put out an episode of Altered Geek. So again, I apologize for doing that. But I didn't want to just kind of leave this feed dormant and have nothing available to listen to. I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody has interest in as we kind of roll into 2025. I know there's been a lot of things both in the world and politically and in the geek market and just the media landscape changing as per usual, or companies milking the crap out of it. And, you know, point in case, like Disney is at this threshold of, we're going to double down on Rey, which, okay, like Rey's all right, but I feel like they had all of this EU, you know, extended universe stuff that they could have mined for awesome content, but Disney decided to just kind of, oh, that's nice. And then, you know, the wastebasket, just kind of throw it in there, you know, the metal can, and hear it go ching. And then they just go whoosh and light it on fire. That's basically what I feel like Disney has done, because they're kind of running out of ideas. They're kind of running back into a lot of weird stuff, or like the Jedi and, you know, the Sith and the witches. And it's like, okay, like the Mandalorian was good until they started mixing all of that crap in there. And then Boba Fett, utter crap. I mean, these shows, that's why they had to bring in Mando and like Luke Skywalker and like all these, you know, staples from this part of the franchise, because they couldn't hold water on its own. Ahsoka is really good though, because it plays into the Rebels animated series. But again, like, I feel like these companies don't have, and yes, I'm retreading into the reboot sequels and all of that again, which I did it like an AI scan of the podcast, and I promise I'm going to circle back, but I did an AI scan of the podcast, and apparently I've covered that topic probably 20 times in the show in its history, which it's still relevant, because it's like these companies don't understand. You can reboot something and have it halfway decent if you put your own original spin on it. However, in a lot of cases, the spin that they want to put on it isn't necessarily the best option. Point in case, they continue to make sequels or reboots of Star Trek. Paramount, CBS, whatever they call themselves this week, wants to go back to the pool, as it were. And mind you, they did Discovery, which takes place like 20 years before Kirk, or 10 years or whatever before, you know, he takes command of the Enterprise. So they do that, and then they have to throw it into the future, because otherwise none of their loopy crap makes sense, because they don't want to play within the confines of the canon that has already been established for the last 50 years. And so they had to move it further ahead, which honestly made the show better in some regards. However, it still was the Michael Burnham show, and it was trash. So then we go into Strange New Worlds. Okay, they're filling in the gap between Pike having the Enterprise and Kirk. Great. It makes sense. They're slowly bringing in Kirk's crew. They're introducing us to everybody. They're kind of showing everybody raw in there. You know, you've got Uhura, you've got M'Benga, you've got Chapel, you've got Kirk, you've got Spock, you've got Scotty now. All they need now is Sulu and Dr. McCoy, and they have the original series crew. Chekhov didn't come until season two. So, again, Strange New Worlds, great. Picard season three, great. Picard season one and two, meh. But they still moved the timeline along. They were picking up after, like, 20 years after Nemesis, which was great because it gave them a time to actually build out some of that history and finish it out proper with Picard season three. Now, mind you, we also have Enterprise, which takes place 100 years before Kirk. And what do they want to do now? So we had Zefram Cochran in First Contact. We had the birth of the Federation, more or less, with the Vulcans meeting the humans and starting Starfleet. And then we get to the point where see if, you know, they go from that direction. Anyways, sorry, I got a text. I could edit it out, but honestly, I'm not going to. I'm just going to keep going like this. So they want to go back in time to just after the Zefram Cochran thing. They want to do another origin story, another prequel. Why? Like, nobody wants this. Nobody. The fans, in fact, like, they're doing Section 31 because really people kind of fizzled out on it, and they're basically doing a Suicide Squad with Star Trek, and it looks like trash. Suicide Squad was trash, and honestly, this is going to be trash. And so I have no incentive to watch Section 31. They did, however, create the conundrum where, like, Lower Decks, great, fills in time span in the 2280s. 2270s, 2280s, great, fits that. You know, then we've got Prodigy, again, same time period, fills in some of the gaps, lets us know where some of the people are. Great, like, everything is cohesive. Discovery was the only bump in the road there. They're still trying to go back to the well of pre-Kirk and pre, like, all of that. Like, between Zefram Cochran and Captain Jonathan Archer. They're wanting to fill in that span now, which I guess, okay, but why? There's really, they could tell the Romulan War, you know, the Earth-Romulan War, for sure. They could tell that. They'd screw it up, but they'll tell it. Now, the other part about it is they could just avoid that time period altogether because then it creates canon issues. Because there's really nowhere to go in there. There's no meat. There's no aliens. There's no, like, there's nowhere to go with it. They are going to make a 31st century show about Starfleet Academy. And they're bringing the holographic doctor back. Which, it begs to differ which holographic doctor. Because remember, there was a split timeline thing where there were two versions of Voyager. There was one with the doctor, and he had his emitter, and he was on a shuttlecraft heading back to Starfleet from the Delta Quadrant, and he's the only survivor and had to clear the record of the Voyager crew with the civilization. So there's that one, and they said he wouldn't get back until the 30th or 31st century because of how far it would take to travel. So there is that option. There's also the actual EMH that is in Voyager and in Prodigy that is survived up to that point. So we also have that option. So I'm the only reason I'm going to even remotely check out Starfleet Academy is not that I want to watch Starfleet Academy. It's because they put the hook of throwing the holographic doctor. The other thing is they could also throw in some of the old Star Trek crew from various series to come back from a holo and have them either play young versions of themselves or, like, middle age or whatever, or their current age, you know, in real life, and have that version of their character. So I could see that playing out as well. However, I don't know if they'll go that route. I think they'll kind of stay away from that stuff. They might throw a couple of nods here or there, maybe like a Chief O'Brien or something like that, but none of them really have the incentive to come back. So there is that. And then There's a nice time period that's called, Star Trek Legacy that people have been clamoring for and really wanting. And Paramount doesn't seem to care. They're like, whatever. We're not going to go that direction. We're going to double down on the other stuff. And I get it. They've already pumped money into this other stuff. However, I would love for them to do Legacy. Or if they're not going to do Legacy and focus on Captain Seven and her crew with the next generation of like LaForges and the Picard and her Crusher and, you know, Raffi and Seven and the Enterprise G, and having some of the existing characters in canon reprise again or cameo here or there, which I think would be great if they could do that, because that would be no different than the original series crew cameoing in The Next Generation. But you could have The Next Generation in Deep Space Nine and Voyager cameo in the next generation called Legacy. So they could go that route. They could jump another 50 to 100 years. So that's the Enterprise H, and kind of go into that time frame and create a whole new crew and start over. Because there's still plenty of time to tell between that and the Enterprise J. And the 26th century. So we're in the 25th century. So we're here. So there's two more Enterprises they could pull from there. So that's a time span they could do. There's also the time span between 2294, when the Enterprise B launches and Kirk is presumed dead, and 2265, right around the time Picard gets the Enterprise D. So there's that time span in there. They could tell the stories of the Enterprise C. They could tell more of the Enterprise B. They could just tell some that have nothing to do with the Enterprise in between that time period. There's plenty of lore in there that they could play in, but they've kind of not wanted to go that either. And I feel like those are the two directions. People want the stuff between that 2294 and 2360 time span, and people want 2402 onward. And they don't seem to care. And this is also one of those things where the entire entertainment and toy and collectible industry is in this same boat. Hasbro doesn't even know what to do with their own stuff. They couldn't even market Transformers 1 properly. And I'm not knocking Hasbro completely. Like, I like the products they put out. I like the properties they own. However, I don't feel like they cared. And I'm glad they're greenlighting another sequel with Cooley doing a follow-up, because that film was epic. It was great. Like, it's not G1, no. And they had nods to other series in it, and it was great. However, I mean, I did have my caveats, my issues with it, which Mike and I will cover on All Things Transformers at some point in doing a commentary. But I think that was the most solid Transformers movie we've gotten since the 2007 film, and before that, the 86 film. So I think that it gave Transformers that kick in the butt that is needed since the 2007 film, and since before that, Beast Wars. So it's again revitalized and done that for the franchise. So I'm hoping that Hasbro will actually start pumping out some awesome stuff for Beast Wars 30th anniversary in the next year. But again, I digress. Like, these companies don't seem to want... They don't seem to want to do the things like... And I'm not saying, like, buckle and cower to the fans, like, oh, you have to listen to us. But, I mean, look at Sonic the Hedgehog, the live-action films. Look how wonderful that turned out. The first three films, and they have plans for a fourth one that they're going to introduce a character in this movie that's going to take it onward to the next film. And honestly, I could see Jim Carrey continuing with this because it just looks like fun. And James Marsden's in it, and it's just, it's a fun, it's just a fun film series. I mean, I think it should stop at a trilogy, to be honest. However, I'm glad that they took the recommendation of the fans and went back, and they were like, hold on a minute. Let's circle back and let's dump this file here, you know, with that version of Sonic with that ugly looking face. Like, let's get rid of that. Let's go use his actual face and then go from there. Because honestly, that other one is it was just dog snot. Like, it was horrible. Like, I'm glad that the Sonic series is turning out really well, though. And that's a testament to what they did to fix it before the film came out. And that was the right kind of fan input, was the appearance. Fix the appearance. The story was good, but I feel like it would have taken people out of it because the appearance was crap. And so, again... So then we get to some actual news. I've had my rant. I've had my tirade. And now we're going to get to this. We're going to get to the meat, guys. We're going to make this happen. I have an article about Amazon Freevee, which I don't know if anybody here has even heard of Freevee. I'm kind of like in the past here. Like, I didn't realize it was a thing, I guess is what you could say. And I'm like the guy that watched, like, I knew about Pluto, I knew about like Tubi, I knew about some other platforms. But Freevee, I think it kind of reminds me of the name anyway, of like the Family Channel or like ABC Family, Fox Family, whatever. That kind of vibe going. But anyways, Amazon had a free ad-supported video streaming service and they shut it down, which is funny because I was pitched this too for like advertising purposes with like a radio company that partnered with them. And then like immediately after, they were like, oh yeah, by the way, we're shutting down Freevee. They're going to phase it out over the next couple of weeks and move everything over to Prime Video, which... Again, a lot of their original shows will still be available on the platform under a watch for free label, but Amazon has been on cost cutting, and they're moving over as many as they can from Freevee to Prime. But yeah, Freevee existed from 2022 on to now, and they're officially killing it. It was IMDb TV at one time too, or Free Dive, IMDb TV, Freevee, and now it's Prime Video. It's kind of like that Google situation that I discussed with, you know, Google Play Music, Google Podcasts, and then YouTube Podcasts. Like, they don't know what they want to call it, even in the consolidation part. So, yeah, that's... I think they're trying to get ad revenue, and I think they're also trying to get the subscriptions to get people to sign up for Prime, to get access to this and have it just as a part of their regular Prime membership or something. I don't really know. I don't really watch Amazon Prime Video because there's too many things on it where they're like, oh, we partner with this other streaming service, but you have to subscribe to that and connect it to us in order to get it to use it. And I don't necessarily have those other platforms. So having them advertise these other shows on it or films does absolutely nothing for me. It's not exactly shutting down, but it is shutting down. They're just moving all their crap over to the other service. And so, yeah, I'm kind of waiting to see what they do here, in all honesty. So, yeah, there's that. And then Netflix, of course, has an ad back tier, which they launched like 2 years ago, but it's like really taken off now because I think people are just penny pinching and they can't afford these streaming services at this point. So it has 70 million global monthly active users, and more than half of the new subscriptions are for the ad supported options when it's available, which is telling that people cannot afford or do not want to pay for higher than what Netflix's original pricing was. So full disclosure, I don't pay for Netflix. I get it because of access to Geekcast Radio for review content, for things like that. However, I like Netflix. I like everything that's on it for the most part. I like the way that it functions compared to any other streaming platform. It is, in my opinion, still the best streaming platform. no Hulu hate, please. But yeah, I mean, I do like a lot of the stuff on Hulu as well, and some of the stuff from Disney. So like, if I actually had all three of them mixed into one, that would be ideal. But yeah, I mean, but then Netflix also is going to be adding a new deal with the NFL, which are going to have live games. They're going to have live TV on Netflix, which is kind of jarring. Like, I feel like they need to stay out of that game. I feel like that's kind of an arena that we don't need to be in with some of these streaming platforms. But I kind of get it, too, because cable TV is kind of dead and we're beyond that point now. Like, there's no. There's nothing there, I guess, is what you could what I'm trying to get at is there's nothing to go off of for cable purposes or live TV. And then, of course, diving back into Paramount. Paramount Plus is trying to squeeze some profits from its streamer, but they're still having a film and TV unit with a lot of drag. And the direct-to-consumer business reported a 10% revenue increase, which I guess is good. Gives them something to keep going, and an additional 3.5 million subscribers. And their film business, however, has kind of struggled with a 71% plunge in theatrical revenue and a 6% dip in linear TV. So they're still trying to get the growth of Paramount Plus, but they're trying to remain a standalone. So, yeah. Apparently, though, they were trying to merge with Warner Brothers at one point, and that kind of fell through. But it was kind of funny that it was in all the legal documents about trying to kind of continue that direction. And then we get to something that is rather interesting. Clownfish TV was talking about this, and I saw it come across my feed, and I've been following all things Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Kai, Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball Daima, which I've been watching the subs until it comes in the dub. But anyways, Crunchyroll, which used to be a pirating website for anime, of all things, are basically being copyright trolls. I guess they've racked up 45 million takedown requests for their content, which is funny because they're super aggressive with their enforcement of copyright, because one, it's a lot of overreach and it's kind of just negative impact on the fan community. But it seems like these big juggernauts don't give a rip about the fans. Point in case, Star Wars did it with fan films. Star Trek did it with fan films. Hasbro does it with stuff. It's not unique, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. And they've issued a rather targeted thing hitting online content, including fan art and screenshots, claiming rights over any anime featured on their platform. Crunchyroll and former Funimation representatives have issued those 45 million copyright takedown requests, contributing to Google's staggering 10 billion URL removal requests from just 5.4 million domains. So they're not only doing the aggressive copyright strikes through third-party organizations, but they're a lot of these might not be legitimate. Because of that, because it's very questioning and very interesting to see why a company does this. I find it, like, I get it if they're like point blank, like dumping pirated copies of the content out there on the internet, like of the video. I understand that. That is a copyright issue. However, they're not the creators of it. They're the dubbing company or the one that has the rights over here. It's still like Toei and Bird Animation over there in Japan that owns it. And so I find it funny that they're the ones that are doing all this. And it goes to show you, too, that they're very protective over their anime. However, they're also like a bastardization of what Funimation used to be, which Funimation was great. It had a lot of great stuff. I love their dubs. I love the Cartoon Network stuff. I'm glad that they, you know, that we're still getting like Dragon Ball content over here. However, I'm not a huge fan of the fact that, one, they used to be a pirating company, and now they're the ones that are attacking everyone else. And they got a taste of legitimacy, and they've kind of been fighting it from there. But they're basically intimidating websites and stifling enthusiasm over baseless claims because people are giving it publicity. Like, can you imagine the audacity? Like, Paramount did this to me. CBS, Paramount, a few years ago when Star Trek Beyond came out, the last Chris Pine film from the Abramsverse. I literally had the press photos from the film, like the legitimate, like I didn't have bootleg copies. I didn't have like bootleg images. I legitimately had their publicity stills that they published with their watermark on it that is available. And I put it in a YouTube video to describe it and how much I was excited for the film. Paramount gave me a copyright strike and flagged it. And I had a takedown request on it. And I'm like, dude, and I sent him a rebuttal. I was like, look, do you want me to talk about your content and pump it up and praise it and discuss it? Or do you want me to just delete it and never support anything Star Trek again? Because that was the road I was going down, because I was not going to put up with that bullying, because I chose to talk about their content in a review and in an excitement manner as entertainment. Like, it wasn't even like I was going, all right, here's the play-by-play of the whole film, and this is what happens in the plot, and the Enterprise blows up, and, you know, I had nothing like that. It was strictly speculative. And I was talking about some stuff with the possibility of the Star Trek 4 that was supposed to come out with like Hemsworth after. And they ended up backing down. But I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, we're to this point in the, you know, the apex of like geek culture where it's okay to bully people because they talked about your content, good or bad. It doesn't matter. We're going to flag you with copyright. I mean, that's almost as bad as like people that are in the radio industry and then they steal images that you design for an interview and you have this specific art and it literally had my logo in it for this interview of Larry Kenny that was out there floating around a while ago. And it was a legitimate like radio guy who was trying to podcast and publish it on his YouTube channel. And he was just stealing images from other people's websites of interviews with Larry Kenny. And I had two different versions of the art, one from an older version of the site, one from a newer one, and he scrubbed them both and used them. And I'm like, no. I flagged that one for copyright, but that was more so because he just outright stole my image. And I've had people do that crap to me with me and Mike with the Chadwick Boseman Black Panther first film like publicity still. We had something and I guess like whatever the site was, we didn't have permission to use. And so they came after us for like a copyright strike or a copyright troll thing. And then tried extortion tactics. Like, I feel like the whole copyright industry, there's like no such thing as actual fair use. Like, basically it's just CYOA, cover your own, fill in the blank. The geek industry is so screwed. It's so screwed. I'm hoping we can get to a point where things are good again, but I think it kind of boils down to the state of the industry and where things are going. So what are some things that you guys are excited about going into 2025? What are some shows, some movies, some of that stuff that's kind of exciting? What are some old ones too? Cause I'm going back and I'm watching some older programs now at this point. I've been fishing around on Netflix because I just I've already watched all of my various series. I've started watching like Ranma 1.5. Because I've heard about it before and I'm like, okay. And so I've been watching that. I've been going back and watching Prison Break again. I've been watching Suits, which I've never seen before. I'm started watching Tacoma FD, which has two of the guys from Super Troopers. And I've been watching How I Met Your Mother. Like, so I've been kind of watching a couple of these different series in between watching like Dragon Ball Daima and Dragon Ball Z Kai and Dragon Ball Super and various Star Trek. And yeah, so I've been watching all of those to kind of keep busy with my time, like when I'm not recording and while I'm playing Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, which, by the way, their online part is totally tanked. Their traffic on Steam. I wish I could have that game like a physical disc, because I can see at some point Steam dumping it and then me losing access to it. I'm going to be a very sad, sad panda. So I don't know. I feel like this has been a better episode. Let me know, guys. Let me know what you think. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did and getting to converse and talk about this stuff. So I'm sure there'll be things that come out before I release this episode on Friday, which it will be Friday when you see this. This is Wednesday. So thank you as always for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron. Be sure to check out this episode post on geekcastradio.com and on our Facebook page. Send us your voice clips. Send us your comments. Feedback at geekcastradio.com. You can get a hold of me on X at SCP21. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Riding the waves of sci-fi and tech, we'll conquer the cosmos, what the heck? From Batman's shadows to Iron Man's flight, our geeky adventures kick off like a kite. In a world where pixels paint the skies, gather round friends, let's amplify our cries. Wolverine's claws sharpen, the battles ignite. Steve's got the insights guiding us right. Altered Geeks here, no limits in sight. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name. Icons and new sci-fi dreams. With every episode, we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together, we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Geek Podcast, remember the name!